Here we go.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the CrossFit Wheelhouse Wolf Podcast with me, Andrew McGovern, Shane Seary, and today we have Mr. Brian Scott on. So the reason we're starting this podcast we're trying to strengthen our community, and we'll be telling members stories, you know, trying to make our community stronger by spreading the good word of CrossFit. So we figured we'd start off with the godfather of the CrossFit Wheelhouse, Brian Scott.
Otherwise the old dude. Yeah.
But now I figured you've been doing CrossFit longer than anybody I know. When did you start?
I think it was the summer of 2009. So what, I'm going on my 12th year CrossFit.
12th year, 2009.
That's crazy. I did not know it was that long.
Yeah. I came here. How long have I been here? About six-ish years?
Yeah.
Probably.
And we've been open for seven.
Yeah, so you were here for a little bit when I first came over. So I already been doing it for a while, right?
You were never at the old... The Justice, yeah.
Justice facility.
So, where were you before that?
Where wasn't I before that? So so as far as home gyms in this part of the world, let's see. I actually started doing CrossFit in 2009 in Houston, because as many of you guys know, I travel for a living. Mm-hmm. And that's when somebody really just goaded me into doing it. I was trying to get back in shape, and somebody got me into doing it in CrossFit West Houston, which was a great little gym. They just started out that year. Mm-hmm. And as you guys know, one of the trainers, or one of the guys I used to work out with, was Asia Bartow. So that was a cool little story about him. Another tall guy is an incredible CrossFitter. But my home gym's here. I did it there for a little bit, and I was just doing it when I was on the road, which is probably about three-ish, four-ish times a week. But then I caught the bug and I wanted to do it more. And right. There was no gyms around here at that time in 2009. So I used to travel all the way up to CrossFit Delaware Valley, which is in Broomall, if you know where that's at, not too far away from Cardinal O'Hara.
And just for anybody that doesn't know, where do you live, or where did you live at that point?
I lived in Landenburg, probably about a mile and a half away from here. So that was a 45-minute
And that's just to work out?
Yeah, just to work out. I was hooked, right? And so I would make that commute. And that was a great experience too, because the owner of that gym was fantastic. He's one of the old school CrossFitters. I mean, he makes me look like I'm just a newbie, right? Rob Miller's been doing it forever. He was, I think, a level 3 or level 4 trainer, you know, was on the cert team and everything. He's also 6'6", so he knows what it takes to do CrossFit as a tall guy. So I was there, did it there for a few years, and my wife's like, you can't be spending an hour and a half driving, an hour doing CrossFit, and another hour half the time bullshitting.
Right.
Yeah.
When you do it. So you're spending half a day just, you know, away from the house, especially with the kids as young as they were, you need to do something different, or I'm getting a divorce. So I said, all right, let me look around. Didn't know about Wheelhouse at the time. So I started looking at CrossFit Kennett Square. They had just opened.
Yeah.
I actually went there for a tiny bit, and it's a great gym now, don't get me wrong, but back then the training just wasn't for me, so I needed to do something different. And then there was a place called CrossFit, Longwood CrossFit, I think is what it was, over where the Kennett Brewing Company is now, tiny little hole in the wall. And I was there for a cup of coffee, and that guy, the owner, was a youngster, and he just did some silly things, and so he closed up shop. I ultimately ended up at at the Thunder Hill.
Oh yeah.
So my friends, John and Jill, who own Thunder Hill, they're right down the street. Right. And so that was great. It was convenient. They were fantastic, awesome owners. And I used to go to Del Valle with them, so I knew them really well, and they let me work out there, and I would train on the side for them if they needed help. And it was just a great experience. But then they had to move, and they were going out to Oxford, and that's when they had me searching again. And so here comes CrossFit Wheelhouse. I just kind of walked in, not really knowing anything, but knowing that it was 2 minutes away from home, and it's been a great experience. So it's the longest tenure I've had at any gym.
So you said someone conned you into starting in CrossFit, or how did, you know, what was the, were you interested in working out before CrossFit? You know, what was there like a,
what, yeah, like you said, you wanted to get back in shape from, from what was out of shape for you?
Man, I think you, Drew, I know you've seen a picture of me out of shape, but I was athletic as a kid through high school and college, you know, played sports. And then when I graduated, I still stayed in shape, whether it was like a fairly high level volleyball, and then going to the gym all the time. And then I took a job as a consultant where I had to be on the road all the time. And slowly but surely, I drifted away from going to the gym and staying in shape. And as you know, when you're on the road, you're out eating and drinking and entertaining clients and stuff. It just, the weight just started piling on. It just came at the perfect time, or the probably the wrong time, because my metabolism was changing too as I was getting older. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I got to be 40, I was probably the worst shape of my life, right? I was pushing probably close to 270. And that's about the time I also was going through the partner process for the company I worked for. And that's a grueling process. And so everything just went out the window. I was in really bad shape. And when I came out the other side and made partner, I'm like, I got to do something about this. So I started just trying to do what I used to do before. You know, you go into the gym, you lift some weights, you'd hop on the treadmill. And that was good for getting me down to about 240. And then I plateaued. And then I was in Houston and we had a huge project team down there with a young team that was into going out and doing stuff, and they were all pretty fit, and they found this thing called CrossFit. And so they kept trying to push me into going. They said, just try it. And I resisted for about 3 months, and I finally went and I got my ass handed to me. Mm-hmm. I was getting crushed by everybody. And I mean, the women were lifting more weight. Everybody was just outdoing me. And I mean, I think the first workout, whatever it was, the trainer was actually, all right, you're done now. You don't need to finish it up. It was something for time. Yeah. I didn't even finish the workout, but I'm a competitive person. And so I was hooked. And so I started coming back and getting into it. And before you know it, I started dropping weight. I probably got to about 220, and then I plateaued again because I still wasn't changing my diet. And then after that, I started learning about the aspects of diet and, you know, nutrition and stuff like that. And that was really the magic to making the big jump after that.
So I'm curious about something, a couple of things. One, you mentioned playing sports growing up competitively to some regard, right? So everybody that's ever played sports, usually a team sport that's at least got some explosive movement or some cardiovascular elements, you get your heart rate up really high, right? Like what you were doing things in the gym. First of all, you got down from 270-ish to 240-ish in the gym, coaching yourself, just kind of like,
yeah,
this is what I'm going to do today. Were you mixing in cardio with the bodybuilding type stuff? Like what
was
that setting, what was working?
Yeah. So typical stuff back then, right? When I graduated from college, I really hadn't lifted weights until I got out of college. Even when I played baseball in college, it was like, oh, you're a pitcher, stay away from weights. So I used to run, you know, you need to have strong legs and a lot of endurance. When I got out, I started lifting weights with some of my friends, and you know, it was the typical stuff, back and bys on certain days, chest and tries, occasionally maybe did legs, right?
Yeah.
Stayed away from that quite a bit. I also mixed in cardio. I would hop on a treadmill every day back then and run for 40 minutes or to an hour. And so I just started doing that again. I started off slow. I started walking on the treadmill before I started jogging and ultimately running as my weight came down. It was the same thing. I would go into the hotel gym and just find a way to either use the universal or some kind of weights to do the same stuff again. And that worked, you know, to get me to a certain point.
So whoever kind of talked you into it, did they talk you into it? Did they recommend it based on you complaining about being maybe bored with it? Or were they just so obsessed with it that they were like, you have to try this? It's almost like everybody that really liked CrossFit at the beginning kind of caught the bug, wanted to get every friend that they ever knew ever worked out to try this workout, right? That's what happened to me.
That's what it was.
Matt Jones was like, dude, stop going to the Y. Please just try this. And, you know, and that was kind of it. I mean, because I was doing the same stuff as you, actually way worse though. because I never cared to get my cardio in. I skipped it almost every time. I was just lifting and like barely breaking a sweat, just putting, trying to put weight on or put weight up, and then never really getting the heart, the lungs, the sweat going. And I think that's when he was like, so did, was somebody like, I think you'll like this because, or were they just like, you got to try this thing I love?
It was a little bit of both. It was, first of all, back then, and I still even think to this day, right, when somebody gets into CrossFit, that's all they want to do is talk about it, right? Because it's yeah. it's like, it's just revolutionary to them. It's something so different and so mind-boggling. Like, why didn't I find this before? So the team would talk about it every day. I'm like, so they would say, our workout was 5 minutes long. We did Fran, right? What's Fran? You know, and it's the pull-ups and the thrusters. But it was 5 minutes. That was the heart of our workout. Other than that, we warmed up and we cooled down.
That's the best part.
5 minutes? What? How can 5 minutes replace the 45 minutes I spend lifting, the 45 minutes I spend on the treadmill? I'm working a hell of a lot harder than you. Like, dude, just try it.
Yeah.
And so I went to that class. And like I said, I got my ass handed to me. And I started seeing the progress by just doing like intensity, right? Mm-hmm. in short durations. And that replaced doing everything else. You know what I did in the beginning too? I didn't give up on the gym stuff. I would go to the gym in the morning and I would do CrossFit at night because I was like, I still was skeptical.
And yeah, finally, a lot of people keep their membership for a month or so.
Yeah, and finally the trainer was like, the coach, the owner was like, dude, just drop that. Trust me. He goes, well, I want to be able to run. I want to be able to do 5Ks, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I've done 5Ks, trained for 5Ks, for half marathons by doing nothing but CrossFit and PR. Yeah. And so I finally cut that
out. You did a marathon on CrossFit, basically. Right. But I think it's so funny when you bring that up because the kind of that honeymoon stage with CrossFit, because I remember when I started CrossFit, I was working in an office in Westchester and I wouldn't shut up about it. And it's so funny now because I know now how nobody cared at my work, right? You, because especially if you did an AM workout and then you go into the office and dude, I did that, like, and some of them were so kind of hard to explain. I started to jot them down, like jot the reps, explain a thruster, like in, you know, dress clothes, like,
right?
I'm an idiot. But I feel like everybody has that stage where they're so obsessed over it and they're so, you kind of impress yourself every day, you know, where every day you're not sure how you're going to finish the workout. And then you do, and then you drag your ass into your car and you get home. And you can't believe you did it, but
yeah, I still think it's one of the best times of the day, right? I would tell people this, and I became known as the CrossFit evangelist at the place that I work, because I would go from job to job or site to site, and I would find these CrossFit gyms. So that was the other thing. I don't only have a home gym, which is Wheelhouse, but I would also have an away gym, depending on what project I was on, or what city I was on, and I've had some really cool memberships and experiences all over the world. And wherever I was, I would get people hooked on CrossFit and kind of spread the word and get, because that's what I would do. I would go in the work, I would talk about it. And then people started seeing the before and after pictures of me. Like, what did you do? You know, how did you get this way? They hadn't seen me in a while. So I started describing it. And that's just one thing led to another.
Not only that, you were on a work trip, figuring out a way to get CrossFit and fit it into your day, which isn't at all convenient. And so they were probably like, this dude just flew in from Philly. He comes into Houston for a couple of days and he still has to find a way to do this thing. Like, what's the big deal, right? Because a lot of people that want to keep their fitness up, they just go on the treadmill in the hotel gym, or they run around the block a couple of times if it's like a downtown hotel. But you were like scouting your workouts as you were being a productive professional. You were you're in the back of your head, like right on your like water break, you're like Googling CrossFit's near me.
My wife would always say, if you spend as much time researching the CrossFit gym you're going to go to on your trip as you did other things, just imagine what you could do. But yeah, I definitely spent a lot of time making sure I would get my workouts in. And as you guys know, that means regardless of where I was. I mean, yeah. I've what, in how many continents? I mean, certainly in North America, South America, Central America, all over Asia, all over Europe. I mean, I've hit them. I just got to hit Australia and Africa now, I'd be set.
Didn't you do one of the open workouts in like India or something?
I've done an open workout. Yeah, I did an open workout in India. I think that's the only time. And I did one down in Texas too. That was last year for both of them. Yeah.
Cool. So just to review, you said you were 270 and around 40 years old when you first started CrossFit.
Yep.
That's crazy. And what are you now?
Now I'm 52.
That's very, very rude.
And now, yeah, I'm okay about my weight. I'm 52 and I'm about a buck 95 to 200.
That's awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah.
He's lighter than me.
Yeah, I'm pretty lean right now. Mr. Judd's got me leaned out. And I'm finding, you know what, being this lean, I was always like, I don't want to be below 200. But honestly, my strength really hasn't suffered and everything else gotten better.
Right? Yeah, the so gymnastics awesome. Go way up every 5 pounds.
Right, exactly. And that's where I was suffering, mm-hmm. right, as far as what I needed to fix for me to be mm-hmm. successful with gymnastics.
Yeah.
So when you first started, progress looked like losing weight? Or were you like, I want to be a games dude, like right out of the gate? You mentioned you were like, you like the competitiveness of like kind of trash talking with your coworkers and stuff. And, you know, were you always competitive or did you?
I mean, I think for a lot of folks, right. I mean, for you guys, right. You guys played sports through high school and in college and stuff. And so you need something to replace that competitiveness. So this was it, right. I pretty much competitive at most things I do. So I really enjoyed being pushed by people. Whether I was the rabbit or was chasing the rabbit, I really enjoy that about CrossFit because it really gets you to be better. If you're just lifting by yourself or running on the treadmill, it's up to you to figure that out. So that aspect of CrossFit was really cool. Mm-hmm. Over the past couple of years, I've had to figure out how to continue to do that when I'm working out by myself. But that is something I like. But to your question, Drew, it started off to be, how do I get in shape? But quickly turned into, I want to get better. And it was, at first it was, how can I continue to PR, right? How can I continue to lift more? How can I continue to get better at, you know, Olympic lifting? How can I add new skills, whether it was like double unders, which I sucked at forever, or everything else under the sun, handstand pushups, muscle up, blah, blah, blah. And then it got to the point when they introduced the open, and I've been doing the open every year since they've had the open. It was like, at first it was like, I'm competing against Rich Froning and Jason Khalifa. Well, we know where that's going to go, right? I'm in with the general population. They didn't have this thing called Masters. And then there was a Masters category that they introduced. I think it was going to be after you turn 45 originally. And so I couldn't wait till I turned 45. I thought I might have a shot to at least be, you know, relevant at 45. And then when I got to 45, they actually pulled it back to 35 and introduced those categories that we know today. And so when I first started doing it, it was, CrossFit was fairly big, but not that big. So maybe the year I turned 45, I was probably like top 300 in the world, but I don't know how many people competed then, a few thousand, right, in my age group. And so that's what got me hooked. I'm like, I think I can get better at this. I just got to start improving on those weaknesses. So it took over about, you know, 5 years into CrossFit when I wanted to start getting competitive and being more into competitions and things like that.
So you weren't trying to like beat Asia Bartow in workouts when you first started?
So there, if you go use Google Asia Bartow and look at his overhead squat from early on, just Google Asia Bartow overhead squat. I think he's doing like 355. Of course, he just kind of push presses it, right? First of all. And I think he does it. And in the background, there's me and a buddy of mine. We're doing a workout on our own, just doing some Metcon that night while he's doing this. But no,
sent that video to me before.
There was nothing I was ever going to compete with Asia on. He's just a stud even to this day. But an awesome, awesome guy to learn from and a great trainer too.
Something you said, so I think it's so funny, and I'm not, this, the point of this podcast or even just talking about CrossFit isn't usually, it's, it sometimes goes this way, but to like knock other training regimens, right? Like if you're working out, awesome. I don't really care what it is. if you're moving your body and trying to prolong your life and feel better, and all that is great no matter how you're doing it. But I think it's funny that when you're doing like the YMCA thing, or like you're trying to just like motivate yourself, figure out rep schemes, but you know, back and buys, that sort of thing, there's no metrics to anything. It's just you feeling out your own body, feeling whether how sore you are or not. But then when you start CrossFit, like the first couple of times you were just trying to get through the workout, and no matter how, you have to scale something, right? And then it's like a huge deal if you can finally do a movement as it's prescribed. Like
I scaled everything in the beginning.
A legit pull up. And then you start to get enough body awareness to go, I think I can start to kick these. Like I kind of get it. Because at first you don't really know what you're watching somebody else do. And when you're flailing around, you're definitely not close to it. And then you start to get that body awareness and the strength necessary to kick. And then you're like, okay, I kind of get that. You start to imagine like, I could probably butterfly. You get it. But it's cool because before CrossFit, you're just in shape or not in shape.
Right.
Just the eye test or whatever you consider to be in shape. But then you get into CrossFit and you're like, okay, now there are, I don't know how many movements there are in CrossFit. I mean, there's crazy things.
Endless.
Hundreds.
Everything.
Hundreds, and a combination of all of them to be millions of combinations. But it's like, I want to be able to do that prescribed. Okay. I want to do that and not suck at it. And then I want to be proficient at it. And then I want to be like just ripped up, ripping double unders off. Like it's not even a part of the workout. It's a break.
Right.
It's just kind of like, don't trip. It's not very hard anymore. Just don't trip. But it's so cool that it opens up all those different milestones for people that can go as quickly or as slowly as you know, it's awesome no matter how or when you get to those things. But it's just cool because anybody who's interested or played sports or likes stats, statistics, like records, winning seasons, losing seasons, you start to like tally the things that you can do and you're discovering all these new things. And it's just cool. I don't know. I always liked that about it.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit on a couple of things there, Shane. I think one is that I've been doing this for, I'm in my 12th year. I mean, you guys have been doing it for 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all that stuff that's out there. How many people can stick with something for that long? I mean, you don't get bored of this, right? That's what's cool about it. The other thing is when you're going to the gym to run and do the old school lifting, there's only so many things you can do, right? And you're making it up on your own. What I love about CrossFit is I show up, I don't worry about any of that. It's just taken care of for me.
Yeah.
As long as the programming is good and you're going to a gym that has great programming, which this place does, you know it's going to work. And so that's taken off the table for you. You just show up and do the work and everything else takes care of itself, which is awesome too. But to your point is there's always something to conquer, right? There's stuff that I still can't do that I want to be able to do or stuff that I want to get better at. And there's so much of it out there. And so you just have to start picking it off one at a time. I'm really analytical when it comes to stuff. And so I keep all my stuff in apps and I can go back and figure out what do I need to change. And I keep blogs and stuff. What should I adjust next time I do this workout or I do this lift or what needs to happen? And then what are those weaknesses that I need to work on? So, and I'm just constantly picking things off.
And you mentioned getting bored of something or having to prescribe your own workout and trying to be inventive about it, but you're just not. Like some of us aren't programmers. I'm not a programmer. I want a workout written for me.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about CrossFit is you see a workout that you did before. And if you've done it long enough and you know that you're progressing, you're getting better at things, seeing it again, it's not like this is lame. We have to do this workout again. It's been 6 months and you're like, I'm going to try to do way better at this workout.
Or it's like, oh shit, that hurts so bad.
Oh yeah. You can definitely dread them.
But no, at the same time, you dread it in a good way, because, right? You're like, oh my goodness.
Because when you're doing push-ups and sit-ups at the gym before, you're not putting standards and you're not typically putting time domains on anything. So now you go, besides like basically physical, you know, assessments for police and stuff, they do so many push-ups, so many sit-ups in time. But when you're by yourself, you're not really doing that very often unless you're kind of nutty. But now it's not nutty. It doesn't seem nutty at all. It's what we do every day is to go, okay, it's great you can do a bunch of push-ups, but how many can you do in 30 seconds and then do a bunch of other stuff and then come back to it and do it again? Like,
right. That's what's cool about this too, is that anybody can be very specialized in something, but I think to be able to do this broad set of things is really cool about
CrossFit. Right.
So I know you said you were kind of competitive. Yeah. That you've always had that competitive mindset, and that's probably why you're motivated, inspired to keep coming back for more. And like you guys just said, there's always something, you can always do something better. And if you focus on one thing, you might be slacking on something else too much. Mm-hmm. So there's always some
balance.
But, and I know you've been competing in the Open, in the Masters division, and locally for a long time, just doing local competitions. What else like inspires you and keeps you motivated other than being just, you want to beat Shane in a workout?
Not that often I beat Shane in a workout. But,
happened recently.
But I think one of the things that I look forward to is my son's 14, for example. And I think it's cool to see him start getting into, he's been playing sports since he was a little kid. And now he's at the age where he can start training as opposed to just playing sports and doing something to get stronger and faster and better. And so he got introduced into CrossFit, I think it was not this past summer, but the summer before he started working with Pat, and saw great changes. And that was a good experience for him. And so that's my goal too, is just to be able to share that with him and with the rest of my family. Ultimately, I think my wife thinks I'm crazy still, but I think they see the benefits of it. And so that's certainly something that keeps me going. I don't want to see my son in his senior year of high school and I'm not able to help him in any way that I should be able to help him. I want to be able to run around with him and train with him and do stuff with him. The other thing is too, I mean, longevity, we talked about it too. I want to be able to do this. I want to be running around and doing this in some fashion. I'm sure I'll slow down eventually, but I want to do this into my 70s and 80s, right? And this keeps me young. I feel like it's reverse time in a lot of ways. So I want to keep at it.
I used to think probably in my teens that it was cool that my dad could play football in the front yard or the backyard with me. Right. And I was like, man, I wonder in your teens, you have no idea. You don't, right. No significant other, you have no clue when anything will happen. But I always used to think, I want to have kids young enough that when they're this age, I can get around, like I can move. Right. I can legitimately beat them at sports, right. Until they're able to beat me. And now with this sort of training available, I just don't see, there's no real reason to slow down. Like, it's not like something you wish to stay in shape. You don't like, I hope I can stay in shape until I'm 55, like, or else, you know, this is some steep decline somewhere that is out of your control. It's not out of your control now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's not. I think you can do this until the day you die. I mean, if you're smart about it. I mean, there are things you have to change as you get older. I mean, you guys are starting to see it, I think, a little bit now. In your 20s, you're invincible and you can pretty much do anything you want. In the 30s, I think that starts to change. And then every decade, it changes a little bit more. So, but yeah, there's no reason to stop. It's just you have to be smart about that. And that's what I've learned over the past couple of years, right, is how to moderate that. I'm still going to, we were talking right the other couple weeks ago with the barbell for booth, right? And I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, just come in and try to take it easy. Well, it's hard for me to come in and do a workout easy. So better for me to take a rest day and make sure I'm fully recovered than to try to just do something halfway, because that just doesn't work for me. But rest days and figuring out that you don't have to go crazy all the time is something that I've just been educated on. Judd's been good for helping me with that, right? Because when I would come in here, it used to be just go balls to the wall crazy and never know how to moderate that. Now there are days when and things are programmed here nowadays too, where it's supposed to be sustainable and moderated. And there's a reason for that. And that actually will keep you fresher and all that promotes that longevity that you want.
Yeah. I had a question. This is going back to the beginning of this, but you travel for work, or did.
Yeah,
will, or, presumably or will, yes. Once this COVID, hopefully, isn't it big, as big of an issue. I did too. I am a traveling salesperson for like 2.5 years now. So I've been to a lot of gyms in that span too. I'm curious, how many gyms, besides ones where you were local for a project and you were there week after week or month after month, but just like one-offs, how many of them have you come back around to, say Charlotte or whatever, any city, and you go, I'm not going to Google a gym. I like that other gym enough to go. That's my, when I'm in Charlotte now, I go there.
Yeah.
Cause I've only had, I have like a handful that I've repeated and been to a couple three times, I think 1-4 times. And I've always been like, I'll text Andrew like things about them, whether it's just how they're set up or the workout, or just be like, the coach was awesome. But I can't put there's no reason why any of them I enjoy. It's never the same reason. But I think I'm always curious to hear people that frequent or at least revisit gyms when they're traveling and what brought them back.
So in the beginning, when I first started, when I got into CrossFit and I started traveling all over the place, I've been already traveling all over the place, but my goal was to always go to a different gym. I just wanted to hit as many gyms as possible.
Yeah,
so
you want t-shirts and
exactly. As you guys know, it'll take me 6 months to wear the same t-shirt.
Yeah, now we have 30 CrossFit t-shirts.
I got hundreds of t-shirts. Mm-hmm. I think I stopped counting. I mean, I was keeping a count of gyms, and I've been to well over 200. I'm sure it's closer to 300.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Globally. But to your point, I now don't care about that. All I care about is going to a gym that I like.
Yeah.
And there could be different reasons for that, like you said. I think, first of all, for what I do now, I need a gym that's probably going to have an open gym just because of the way I train now.
Yeah.
Because I have my specific workouts I was going to do. Before I started working on doing what I'm doing now, I would look for the programming. What was the programming like? So I would go out, like my wife said, I would research a bunch of gyms in the area. I'll look at the programming and figure out which programming made the most sense, which ones seemed like they were smart about how they did things. I would research the coaches, how much experience they have. Do they have more
deep dive?
Do they have more experience than I do? Right. I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, whatever it was, 7-10 years, or is this somebody who just started training yesterday?
Yeah, but how many, you probably weren't successful in finding.
Yeah. Some of the old school gyms, like Charlotte, for example, Spencer Hendel's dad, someone that owns that one, right?
Okay.
Uptown Charlotte.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. And there's stuff all over the place, like Vegas, right? You had Max Zephyr, right? Which just closed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He shut
all
down.
They had three places, right?
Yeah. It's a shame. That's a shame that he closed down. But I would find that place that had the programming, obviously had a decent facility. I really didn't care as much about the facility as long as they had room for me every time.
Mm-hmm.
They would take me. And of course, they typically had to have a morning class so that I could do it. But that's what I would look for. I've been in some hole in the walls that have fantastic gyms and programming, and I could care less, right? It was less about what it looked like, but at the same time, you would go into like a Max Effort and that place is gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Stunning, huge. They could fit 100 people in that gym at one time if they wanted to. But it was definitely programming coaches for me.
Spencer Hendel was one of my L1 seminar staffers. Cool dude. Two, I used to be obsessed with, it's the same with hotels. I love cities, like how they feel, how they're laid out. So when I travel, I really like to stay close or in the city, like center city or whatever, and actually kind of like research neighborhoods, like you research CrossFit gyms. But same with CrossFit gyms, I'd always want to I would always want to go to one that was like right around the corner, walking distance,
same
or whatever. But now I'm like, if it's a good gym, I don't care where it is anymore. Like that was all like kind of, they're all like vanity requirements for me. And now I'm like, I just want something good. But to wrap that thought up, besides CrossFit Wheelhouse, what are like your top two or three that come to mind that were like awesome gyms?
Man, that's hard, right? There is just some, they all have, man, there's there's some that just, you know, will always have fond memories of for various reasons. I mean, West Houston's where I started. Del Valle's where it was my first home at home gym, and they're still a great gym. If you ever get a chance to go up there, Rob's an awesome guy and a great owner. Mm-hmm. Around the world though, Max Effort, I went there when Zach was in this small place they shared with another gym. And then he branched out to that big place, and he was a great trainer. I mean, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I went there to snatch one day. I was holding it with a clean grip. He patiently came over and settled me down and taught me how to snatch properly. But I remember him. There's a place in Dallas called CrossFit Strong that you could fit a airplane, like a 747, and it was so big. You would do your 400 meter run, and most of it was done inside. It was straight line. That was cool. Then I spent time in the UK. I was working in the UK for about 6 months. I worked at CrossFit, worked at a place called CrossFit Leeds. This again was a tiny little place. It was probably about as big as the upper gym here at best. It looked like a dungeon. And it was the first year the games were on TV. I came back, flew over, and then went to the gym that Monday or Tuesday, and the games had ended that weekend, or maybe it was the following week. The games had ended a week ago. I go in there and there's this woman in there lifting. She has tattoos coming out of her back. She has like a midriff shirt type on, and I can't place her. She just looks familiar. And the owner, Mike, goes to me, "Hey mate, let me introduce you to Sam Briggs." And so I'm like, "Hey Sam, how you doing?" She had just come in second that year in the games. And I mean, she is small, really skinny legs, but her upper body is bigger than ours combined. All three of us. She's an amazing athlete. That's a cool experience. But then, I mean, just different places I've worked out in. I mean, CrossFit Amsterdam, love that place. That's a great place right on the canal.
That'd be cool.
Shanghai, CrossFit Shanghai, and then all the places in India. There's too many to mention, but those are some of the ones that stick out.
Very cool.
So you're kind of in the middle of an age bracket right now, 52. 50 to 54 age bracket. I know you made the qualifiers this year, you know, the open, did good enough to make it to the middle stage qualifying rounds. I guess is your next, what's next on the list? I mean, are you gonna take it easy for a couple of years or try and keep plowing full steam ahead? Or
I don't know if it's plow full steam ahead. We're going to be smart about it. You know, I've talked with you, Drew. I've talked with Judd about this. We're not going to slow down as far as not doing the open. I mean, that's kind of a thing for me to do, is do the open every year. I've done it every year. I've only not finished it 1 year, and that's when you guys were there when I tore my pec. But other than that, I've always done the open or finished the open. So I want to do that. I feel like that's an accomplishment that everyone should do. And hopefully we can drum up some interest this year, assuming things get back to somewhat normal. But I want to do the open. I mean, I want to try to qualify again. I'm not necessarily going to kill myself on a qualifier weekend, knowing that I'm on the backside of an age group. Mm-hmm. That qualifying weekend, you guys both did some of the workouts. I mean, it beat the hell out of me. It was a great experience, man. Yeah, but that was the hardest weekend of CrossFitting I think I've ever done. Those were some brutal workouts. And it was a great experience, and I would probably still do it, but I wouldn't go as hard as I did. I would do it just to get a feel for what the experience is. But I don't know that I'd be trying to qualify, because it's really hard, right? You go from, they take the top 200, and then they get those 200 to the qualifier, and then only the top 10 make it. I mean, that's such a steep, cut. So, but our goal is to look at this when I turn 55. It's interesting. I'm really good at a decent amount of weight and anything that requires an engine. And the interesting thing is the weights actually go down, and some of the standards actually get slightly easier, which opens it up for more people. But I think that might work to my advantage when I turn 55. So it'll be interesting to see. Judd has confidence in me and says, "Hey man, just keep doing what you're doing. I think we can make it. So why not? We'll see what happens." But I think the next 2 years will be just about getting to 55. It's not about next year. It's about when I turn 55.
Well, I mean, just making the qualifiers is a huge accomplishment in itself, especially being 52 and a 50, you know, because I looked at the leaderboard and the top 10 guys, I think there was one guy who was 54, but everybody else is 50.
Yeah, Ortiz, probably.
Yeah, that's who it was. But everybody else is,
I mean, most yeah, that's, of them are 50. That is the science behind the Masters brackets, right? You need to be able to hit it hard when you flip over into that next bracket, right? You're the youngest of the oldest. And that's where you see most people make the most progress. My goal is just to stay competitive and stay with the ability to qualify, even though I'm getting later in that bracket. So that way, when I do turn, I'm going to just hopefully be able to do really well.
Cool. So how does age play a factor in, I mean, you start when you're 40, you weren't, I don't know.
I wasn't young back then either.
Yeah. But how does that play a factor in things as far as recovery goes, as far as even just like getting out of bed after a hard workout the next, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. It's taken me a long time and it's been hard. I definitely overtrained when I was younger, right? When I first started CrossFit, I think everyone does this. They want to do it. Start with 3 days a week, then you go to 5 days a week, then six, then it's seven. And there's no doubt that I was going nonstop and training 7 days a week. And I probably got as light as I'd ever been. I was down to like 190 at one point because I was basically working out too much, not eating enough, and just beating myself up, deteriorating my body. So I was able to at least figure that out and stop that. And then I started backing off on how many days I worked out. And I went back to five. And then it went to six, but I'm like, well, that sixth day, I always take it easy, right?
Yeah.
So, and that always, it's hard, right? We want that adrenaline rush. But I think the thing I've learned over the past couple of years is that rest days are so important. You can't get stronger. You can't get fitter if you don't take a rest day. And so I do have two rest days programmed for me now, and it's good, right? And it's really helped me as far as recovery goes. In fact, right now I'm in a point where we're actually taking additional rest days. I'm doing three rest days a week just for the next month or so to let my body recover as I do some other stuff. But don't underestimate rest days. I think anybody that's new to CrossFit wants to go all the time, and long term, it's not good for you. And as you get older, you're going to need those rest days. As far as getting up and out of bed, I think if you're doing it right and you're using good form and you have good programming, you're going to be sore, but you're never going to be to the point where you should be beat up. If you're beat up, that means you need a rest day, or you need to look at what you're doing and say, am I doing something with improper form? I think, am I going too heavy? Am I doing something maybe I shouldn't be doing? But 5 days is good right now, 52. That's no problem. I can still go pretty hard.
Yeah, I think a lot of people at first, well, not. You just have to get familiar with how your body tells you that you're really sore versus like borderline injury or something. Something a little wrong. Like, it's not wrong to be really crazy sore, but if it feels off, and it takes a couple of times, it takes a couple of those days to be like, to start to feel what's normal. But I think if you're CrossFitting really hard, even in a competitive way, as long as you're doing things right, you're going to be sore. You're going to be destroyed. But people don't get injured that often.
Right. I think if you raise a great point, is knowing the difference between sore and hurt.
Yeah.
Right. And that takes a few times to figure that out. And I've definitely, as I've gotten older too, I've erred on the side of saying, well, I might be hurt as opposed to sore. And so I'll scale something, or I'll adjust the workout if I think something's off. Like I said, my arthritis has been bothering me in my elbow, right? So we're going to adjust something for a couple of days until I know where this stuff's at.
Right.
And when it recovers, then boom, we're at it. But I don't like to take chances. I mean, I had that one injury that really, it happened through CrossFit, but I don't think it was related to CrossFit. But other than that, I've been fortunate to, you know, just had minor bumps and scrapes other than that pec injury that I had. But yeah, you have to figure that out. I'd say the other thing as far as getting older, and it doesn't matter that if you're in your 50s or in your 20s or your 30s, is it's really, I think, a three-legged stool, right? It's the workouts, it's the recovery, but recovery tied into that sleep. That's one thing that I really underestimated is how much sleep you really need, whether you're doing CrossFit or just trying to just do life, right? Sleep's so important, as I found out over the past couple of years. And with the pandemic, that's been a blessing that I sleep in my own bed every night. And what a world of difference that's made.
Yeah.
And then nutrition, of course, is super important too. So if one of those three things is off, the other two suffer, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important to keep them all going.
Yeah, I think the rest day thing is like, we always preach that as coaches at the gym, like make sure, you know, taking a rest day, because I've been there. I've been the 7 day weeker, and like, I'm not taking a rest day. It's for a week. You know, it's great. You know, and I didn't learn that until I got started diving into being super competitive with cross, you know, trying to be really good at the sport. And I had to give up, you know, a day of CrossFit, which I love doing, to give that up to do better at CrossFit. So if you really love CrossFit, you will give it up for one day and rest so you can get better in the future. And I wasn't injured. I didn't feel injured. I didn't feel hurt. I didn't feel sore. Like, I would just come in 7 days a week.
But run ragged, though.
But I would run ragged. Just my central nervous system would just be tanked.
Exactly.
24/7.
Exactly. And that's actually my CNS is off a little bit. And that's why we're taking the extra rest day right now. But you also plateau, right? How can you give your muscles a chance to recover? How can you give your body, your central nervous system, a chance to recover so that you can go crush that workout? You're going to be basically just stuck here instead of having a nice, you know, curve that you want.
I remember back when this was 5-6 years ago, we all felt like we were getting better at Olympic lifting, good enough to start to push the envelope a little bit for our whatever good is for us. And we came up on Outlaw Barbell. We were just killing ourselves every day.
Small off.
And the
squats.
And it would be written like, do not fail more than once today. Like, not even for bad form, and not because it's a weight thing or a form thing or whatever. Like, for any reason at all, if you fail,
you're done.
You're done for the day. We would fail 40 times and we would not get better or stronger. We would be borderline injured. And then finally, I think we all just got so tired of it. We were like, all right, let's just do CrossFit for a little while. And then we started PRing because we weren't just destroying ourselves. Like, and in an improper way, right? It's not like you're training so hard, oh my God, this is like the way to progress. It was like, we're actually hurting ourselves and our progress.
When I went to the other gym, I forgot to mention, it's definitely has a, you know, good spot in my heart, is CrossFit Synergistics in Boston. I was there for 3+ years. And I used to go in there and I would do 2 days. I would go in at 5 a.m. I would do the CrossFit class. And then for the 6 a.m. class, I would either have like an Olympic session or be doing like hat squat program or something. I always had something going on for better part of a couple of years. Yeah. And you know, I thought, this is how I'm getting better, but really it was just hurting me. I was slowing myself down.
Yeah. So what's some other last question? We'll wrap it up on this one. Any advice to beginners or, you know, older folks that are thinking about starting CrossFit? I mean, if we've covered a lot of those topics, like, you know, start slow, whatever, but.
Well, first,
why does he think that you can speak to older folks?
Yeah, I guess anybody over 40, right, is what you mean by older folks, right, Drew? I would say that everybody thinks they need to be fit to come into a CrossFit gym. I'm a living example that you don't need to be fit. Come into a CrossFit gym and you will get fit, and we'll start you with where you're at, right? So I would say that's the first thing. Don't wait. Don't try to do something on your own. You're going to get fit a lot quicker and be a lot happier for it if you step in here on day one instead of waiting a couple of months trying to do something on your own. And it doesn't matter what age you are. We got everybody. I'm certainly not the oldest one in this gym. We got people in our, what? We got people barely in their teens all the way up into their 70s.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of places where I see people even older than that. So you can do it at every age. So there's no reason that you can't come in here. As far as being a newbie, just come in here and, you know, throw your ego out the door. That's hard because I think we all had it when we came in here and we probably try to live too much or do something we shouldn't do. But just listen to the coaches, and before you know it, you're going to be doing things that you didn't think were possible. But don't be afraid to scale the workout and listen to the coaches, and we'll take care of you when you first come in here. I think those are the biggest things I would say.
Cool. Got anything, Coach Shane?
No. Throw your ego out the door. Everybody sucks at CrossFit at first, I think. Even if you're somewhat of an athlete, or you think you're like,
oh yeah,
you're in shape. You probably not.
You're not.
There's always someone out there that can teach you something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the ego thing, like you, we just talked about not wanting to don't. You're gonna get injured if you wear an ego in here, and I can attest to that. My first workout ever, Matt Jones made me come to him. It was like a million man makers. And I left with knee tendonitis. I was like, all right. And after a month, I came back. I recognized that was my fault. I shouldn't have done 50s. What am I doing?
Oh.
Everybody should just come in here with the idea, like, you're just going to sweat. People are going to correct your form. If something feels funny, ask. It's also probably the first gym you've ever been in that doesn't have mirrors on every wall. So you need coaches to be your mirror and tell you how you look, if it looks wrong or right, and then just get your sweat on and go home and eat well and hydrate and sleep. It's like the best first day of CrossFit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, those first, I mean, it doesn't get any better in the first couple of years of CrossFit, right? You're PRing every day.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening or watching. And that's it for today.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Thanks,
appreciate it. Thank you.
Cut.
Oh, no, it didn't save.
Oh, man. I thought that, too. I was like, well, if it doesn't go well, Brian won't mind if we do it again, right? And then I was like, but then it'd be ridiculous.
We have to make up new questions.
You can't script something like that.
Yeah.
You better have a